We look forward to that, and the Lord bless you as you share.
Good morning. So this morning, you could say we're going to continue on the theme, but we're going to look at redemption stories. And these stories can be found in Psalm 107. So we'll turn there. And before we begin, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this new morning, this Lord's Day, that we can come and praise you. Lord, help me as I bring forth your word, and Lord, would it give us joyful hearts and hearts that will seek to praise you for the rest of our days. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess I can take this off. That's nice. Let's start in verses 1 to 3. Kind of an introduction. This psalm is the first in the fifth book or collection of psalms in what we now today call the Book of Psalms. If you were to summarize this fifth collection of psalms, it might be, "Praise the Lord." Or in this case, as in Psalm 107, verse 1, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting, his mercy endures forever." If the root cause to praise the Lord is his loving kindness, I can confidently say that we will be eternally praising the Lord. And praise God again for granting us eternal life through Jesus Christ, that we may receive the privilege to praise him as long as his loving kindness endures. We are going to require that eternal life in order to bring such praise as he is worthy of. And were this the only place in which we could praise God, we might never leave. You'd say it's good we have an extra hour today then. But we are to praise him everywhere. And everywhere, verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And then there's a refrain in this psalm that we're going to come across multiple times. It says, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the children of men." This is the refrain that breaks out with each of these stories of redemption. And if I were to be able to identify who the "them" were, then I would, and I would go through whose stories these are. But they're left pretty vague, as this psalm is, and I think we'll all find some resemblance to our own lives. We'll all recognize some things. We may even see some resemblance to the children of Israel, or as in my favorite story, resemblance to the disciples. And what can be identified in these stories, if not the people, is humankind's depravity. The fallen man, sin, my sin, the feeling of being caged by sin, the feeling of being before the accuser, condemned, and the only judgment is eternal death. And I believe these stories, they capture that. And I'm not going to give any further details, but if you are familiar with those terrors, I'm sure you're also familiar with the loving kindness of God. And you may know how these stories go, but it is pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story. So let's read the first story. This will be verses 4 through 9. So beginning Psalm 107, verse 4. "They wandered in the wilderness, in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their souls fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good." So these souls in this story, we can give them credit that they were hungry and thirsty, and it looked as though they were searching. It looked like they were searching the wrong places. They were in the wilderness, and perhaps they did not know where to go. If we think of the children of Israel, the nation, They wandered, but only after they rejected the passage into the promised land. So maybe they did know where to go, they just weren't necessarily going there. The nation of Israel, by the grace of God, was brought into the promised land 40 years later and one generation later. And so whether we know where, whether they knew where to go or not, we can identify that these souls were desperate. Verse 6 says they, verse 5 says that they were hungry and thirsty. Their souls fainted within them. They were searching for something that had not yet been satisfied. So now I ask you, how did they find the Lord? How did these lost, fainting souls now become the redeemed of the Lord? As in verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them proclaim his loving kindness. And this is now one of the redeemed of the Lord. How did they get there? And so verse 6, this is something else that will repeat through each of these stories. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. And so those who seek the Lord with all else yielded to his control will find him. And he delivered them out of their distresses. Verse 7, he led them also by a straight way to go into an inhabited city. Rejoice now, for these are now redeemed of the Lord, these souls. Verse 8, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. It seems as though the redeemed of the Lord are giving praise because of God's loving kindness, right? They've experienced it. And there's that contrast of their hopelessness and then now their new life, their joy. His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. And let's not confuse this for God transacting prosperity for our submission. I believe our Heavenly Father loves to give good gifts, but the greatest of these gifts being salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this gift alone brings satisfaction that when we believe in Jesus Christ, living waters will flow out of our body. And we had spoken about living waters. Now, we have these hungry and thirsty souls. They're satisfied. But there are still some who may know this, that there's satisfaction in Christ, but they reject it. Jeremiah 2:13, I'll just read it for you. God speaking, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew out for them broken cisterns that can hold no water. And so in vain they reject the living waters. And so let's keep telling of the grace and loving kindness of the Lord, how he humbles the proud, snatches the fool out of his own destruction, and swallows up the wisdom of men. So now verses 10 through 16 is another story. And I've kind of labeled these people the proud. So starting in verse 10. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he humbled them, their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has shattered gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. So when I think of prisoners, I often will think in the sense of someone like Paul. And Paul is a bit different kind of prisoner. I'm sure there were chains, and I'm sure it was dark. But this darkness and these chains were of the least concern to Paul. Even in his chains, it's not what we hear coming from his prison epistles or from his second letter to Timothy. Instead, we hear to live is Christ, to die is gain. And this is not the case in the story before us. These prisoners are bound in chains, which no man can command they be released from, save one. And so those who had no need of anyone's help, for they considered themselves sufficient, having no need for the grace of God, you could say they made themselves gods. But they have fallen. And in their own strength, they failed to even bring themselves to their feet. Verse 12, therefore he stumbled, therefore he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. The idea here is legs collapsing. These proud souls, once strong, are now brought very low. What a terrifying thing it is to be humbled by God. God takes a man in his highest state, Nebuchadnezzar, ruler of the nations, Paul, Pharisee of Pharisees, and he sends them reeling in darkness, misery, and chains. Nebuchadnezzar bound to insanity and living as a wild creature, and Paul stricken with blindness, having to be led along the road. So now I ask again, how were the prisoners freed? How did these crushed, bound, and miserable, once proud souls become more redeemed of the Lord? The answer is like the previous. Then they cried out to the Lord, verse 13. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. So humbled were these prisoners that they cried out as the blind man outside Jericho, who could not be silenced in their cries, Lord, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. That's Matthew 20:30. And so much greater God's grace that he did indeed save them out of their darkness. Though they were proud, though they had said, I have no need of those living waters. And so Paul, though he was bound in worldly chains, was content in any circumstance and ready to be poured out as drink offering for the cause of Christ. Paul's response to salvation was praise, thanksgiving, and service. Likewise, the redeemed of the Lord will say so. Verse 15, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the children of men. For he has shattered gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. Now we move on to another story of redemption. These would be titled, as verse 17 here says, they're foolish, they're fools. So we'll begin at 17. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. So these fools are near to the gates of death. In the rebellion from God, they have sought to satisfy themselves with all the world's pleasures. But they have so exhausted these pleasures that there's nothing left. They abhor even food of any kind. And unlike the proud who said, I have no need of help, the foolish were kind of, they knew they needed help, but they foolishly sought help the wrong place. And now, how all apart from Christ and in the same spot, they too are in the pit or destruction. So they've found themselves in the pit of destruction. How did they escape? Well, they didn't necessarily escape, but rather the Lord plucked them out of the pit. Verse 19, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And so now let these sobered souls rejoice in the mercy and loving kindness of God, where even now their food, they rejoice in tasting the food as God had designed it to be, and they sing joyfully of his works for saving them. And let them say, as in 1 Peter 4:3, the time already past is sufficient to have carried out the desires of the flesh. How can they not tell of his works? The joyful singing. Verse 21, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the children of men. That refrain again. Now to the final story. And these, I kind of look at them as the world's wise. They seem pretty proficient in how to go about the world. They are doing business now. They are on the sea, though, so let's read the story. Verse 23, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens, they went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man, and were at their wits' end. The Bible says it's kind of the idea, their wisdom was swallowed up at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. So he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him also in the congregation of the people and praise him at the seat of the elders. So these souls do business on great waters. So I've never been to the ocean, but what I can gather from this is that I'm scared of a lot more things than these people are. And yet the fearless still come to know the fear of the Lord by the grace of God. Verse 26, they rose up to the heavens, then went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered, being basically shaken. Kind of term we use is like a rag doll. You kind of, don't really have a lot of control over what's going on around you in mighty waters. And they were at their wits' end. Now, this is the story that reminds me of the disciples. Among them, Galilean fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. And yet, there is a time when they were fearful. You might say they were at their wits' end. The fishermen had no wisdom from which they've accumulated from their trade to save themselves from perishing. And so instead, they cried out to the carpenter, do you not care that we are perishing? And the wise of this world cannot, no matter how hard they try, find a way to obtain forever and obtain life forever, that is. And as those who are wise in the seas in this story come to this knowledge, how are they redeemed out of the waves of this world about to overtake them? Again, verse 28, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. The carpenter likewise commanded the seas, hush, be still. And our first emotion, if we were in this situation, might be gladness, but then wonder. Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? He is the Creator, and he is our Redeemer. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the children of men. And so those are the stories. And what can we take away from these redemption stories? I hope reason to praise our wonderful Savior, wonder in all sense of the word. For we are the ransomed of the Lord. We who have been redeemed by the Lord know his mercy and his grace, his everlasting loving kindness toward us. And if you do not know this mercy and loving kindness, perhaps you find yourself in the wilderness, lost, hungry, and thirsty, or in the prison of the proud, defeated and in darkness, or plagued with sickness of foolish pleasures, or you find yourself trembling before the waves of this world and you're at your wits' end, you do not know what to do. If you find yourself here, and if you are like me, that is a fallen creature, you may find yourself that you are all four of those rolled up into one. And I was lost, I was proud, foolish, and wise in my own ways. The grace of God is sufficient to save you and to continue working on you as he is in me, because I require the mercy and grace each day with each of those things. So cry out to the Lord today. He is faithful. His loving kindness is everlasting. And you redeemed the Lord, tell your story this week. as these stories. It doesn't have to sound like a psalm, though it can if you like. We share in so great a salvation. Sing joyfully this week as the fool who was healed by the word of God. Sing joyfully this week and extol the name of the Lord in all you do. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to praise you for redeeming us, that we can call ourselves redeemed of the Lord. Lord, would we revere you this week? And as we are thirsty, may we know that we have the living water flowing out of us. Lord, in our pride, may we know that there is a way that pride leads us, and it's to destruction. You have plucked us out of that. We are so grateful for it. And Lord, if there is any vice that we would seek, as a foolish man, would we turn away from that and instead be healed and ministered by your word and sing joyfully to you. And Lord, in this world, we do think that we might have our bearings around us, but when we don't, Lord, may we cry out to you and look for your deliverance, for you have delivered us. And would we praise you and encourage one another with our redemption stories. In Jesus' name, amen.